The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here on VSiN from downtown Las Vegas. And our setup here, it's Bar Canada at the DM. Ben Wilson, one more day in for Gil Alexander, who's off the rest of the week. Kelly Bidlin, though, is here. We're watching live French Open. We have the Memorial starting tomorrow, which we're going to break down in a second. Also tomorrow, NBA Finals gets underway. College Baseball Super Regionals will start later this week. So a lot for us to get to here and kind of build up to, Kelly, with a couple of dead, so to speak, sports betting days here with this hour. Matt Grissom coming up in a half hour. He'll break down all the Super Regionals. I do have one bet I've made there on a dog in the Supers for their series price. Jason Weingarten on Major League Baseball. He has, as we were teasing this here, Kelly, he's got a AL Rookie of the Year bet that he has been talking about here for some time that he will reveal to us in a little bit, see what he's betting on Major League Baseball as well today. I did get one question here from Brian Kelly asking, is it a good bet to make Luka Doncic to record a double-double every game of the NBA Finals? He's minus 205 game one. DK is offering plus 550, which is an interesting thought because you would figure Doncic will be an over $2 favorite in every game to record a double-double. I just don't know that the math checks out. And even if you assume this only goes five games and you put in minus 205 on a money line parlay, you're getting, it's like plus 670. So
yeah,
you want a little more bang for your buck. And that's only if the series goes five. If it goes six, you're talking minus, or you're talking like plus 880, 9-1.
Yeah.
So probably just roll that over as much as as much as that's not sexy. But thought that's a good question, though.
Yeah, I know there were some shops out there, and I don't know if some of these are like parlayable, but like you could also play parlayable. I also don't know if that's a word, but I think that is. I've used it plenty of times before on the air.
Clark Kellogg would be proud of you. Parlayable.
I know there's some shops where you could do like series averages and stuff like that,
yeah.
And you can like ladder down on them, so you could. You know, maybe parlay like over 4.5 assists and rebounds or something for the entirety of the series. And
so,
it's still going to be, you know, minus 150 or minus $2
right.
Or something like that. I don't even know what the odds are set at, but I've heard a couple people discussing those. I think with Luka and Tatum, there are a couple of those you could get a little frisky with if you wanted to.
I think that makes sense. Yeah. It just leads into my jealousy of where you're able to parlay these like wild things. Like I was trying to find parlayable books for super regional prices because we have a lot of there were a lot of Cinderellas that made it combined with a lot of the heavyweights, so you've got some pretty tough to bet single series on their own. Yeah, we joked about Tennessee yesterday being a minus 1,000 favorite, and I was looking to find, you know, could I parlay like A&M in a series price, and none of the books here let you do it. So
let's hit that real quick, because you do have a bet here. You do have a bet in college.
Yeah, Florida. I found that plus 172 Westgate with the best offering on that. I believe there are other books, if you shop around, you can find as good as plus 162 in the market. DraftKings plus 135. I wouldn't play this anywhere at that range. It would be, you know, plus 150 or better. I would need to have to make that play shout out to Trip Tepper, one of our loyal viewers who has a Florida 70-1 ticket to win it all that he made right before the tournament got underway. So with how they advanced as a 3 seed, they were arguably the last team in, certainly one of the last 4 teams in. But that is one I do like over Clemson. I thought Clemson really played with fire in their regional. They won 2 of the 3 games by a single run. And they were a team that really relied on the long ball, over 100 homers hit, which is 15th out of the 64 NCAA tournament teams. But they were just 32nd in WRC+. That's a stat we get courtesy of collegebaseballinsiders.com. Matt Grissom, one of those contributors, will join us here in a little bit on the show. But with the combination of that, all the close games they've played this season, it wasn't just the regional, this extended to the regular season. Having a freshman as your number one pitcher who's been awesome, Aiden Knack, I just wonder how he holds up in an environment like this now in a super regional, who has a 2.96 ERA, a very, very good freshman season. But against now a red-hot Florida team, who you always beware, Kelly, the SEC team who had high preseason expectations that fell flat on their face through the regular season, limped in, and now is catching fire. I still have arguably the most exciting player to watch in college baseball. Jack Caglione is a two-way guy who's his numbers this year, 4.14 average, 30 homers.
Yeah, it's not bad.
For Caglione.
It's not
bad. And also he's their Friday night starter. So it's also a situation where their head coach, Kevin Sullivan, back to where he was a former assistant at Clemson there. 10 years in the Supers out of 17 for O'Sullivan in Florida, last year's College World Series runners-up. So Florida, plus 172, the bet for me. I've shopped around try to find that. You can find that over plus 150 at a number of shops. It is getting bet, though. It's down to plus 135 in some places.
Yeah, I tried to wanted to set you up to talk to that. I was trying to figure out if I could find anywhere where you could parlay these Super Regional Series prices. I don't think so, though. All the books that I just tried, East Coast, sorry.
We'll ask Matt on that when he comes on, because I know he did some parlays with regional winners. There's some few outs, and he's in Arkansas, but we'll ask Matt on that, because I think he would know.
Yeah, I just tried a few of the big ones. Look, this is where betting manners and your friends have to come into play. I hope you win your bet, Ben, but I'm not going to be that upset if the Gators lose.
Well, shocking. You know? Florida State, the noted Florida State alum.
Hey, I'm rooting for you to win your bet first, though. We're rooting for that first.
No, I know. I'm aware.
I don't have money on the other side.
You shouldn't have to root for, you know.
Plus, like, it's never bad watching Clemson go down either. So.
Yeah. Right. Right. There's also that, too. Yeah, you know, allegiances all over the place. We'll talk more college baseball in a little bit. It is a good golf week, though, the Memorial.
Great golf week.
Fresh episode of Long Shots out right now for the deeper dive here, Kelly, with Wes Reynolds. As we will see, after last year was a playoff, Victor Hovland with a really exciting win in this. We've had some great moments at the Memorial over the years, Kelly, and now here we go. It's a purse up to $4 million and a very, very highly touted event every single year. Jack Nicklaus's club, basically, at Muirfield Village, where Jack's had so many great memories there. So where did you start, just from the general handicapping perspective here this week, on a tournament that has a whole lot of big names in it?
Yeah, it does. Big-time event. We're an elevated field. So we are, last check, 73 players in this field. This will be... this is one of three this year with an interesting cut line. So it's one of these elevated events. There is a cut line, though. It is going to be top 50 in ties. And then also if you're 10 shots within the lead. So it could be top 50. It could be the bulk of the field.
We've had that a couple times, right?
Yeah, we've had a couple times. Honestly, Ben, more guys have ended up getting cut than I think I expected. So it's always interesting trying to get a feel for that in the first year of them doing it. So big thing, whether you're playing DFS betting this week, keep that in mind for sure, of what that cut line is at. We're at Muirfield Village. This is one of my favorite courses. We were talking about it yesterday, Ben. I actually think this might be, like, I love the players. This might be my favorite tournament, like, of the non-majors to watch.
And you think about the drama we've had over the years, whether it was, where Rahm tests positive for COVID.
It was crazy,
With a huge lead in round three. Cantlee wins as a result.
And no business.
And Cantlee wins in a playoff over Colin Morikawa. The playoff last year, Denny McCarthy has the great run, gets hot with the putter, and Victor Hovland ends up pulling it out in a playoff. Those are just some of the recent ones. Tiger Woods with five championships at this event all time. So, yeah, you're right. It's one of the more underrated events as far as consistently great finishes.
Yeah. And if you're handicapping on your own this week, this is what you're looking at. Fifth longest course on tour, highest missed fairway penalty on tour, fifth smallest green, 4-inch rough is what these guys are going to be dealing with. One of the toughest short games tests on the PGA Tour. Second toughest course behind Augusta National to gain strokes around the green on. You've got 12 holes with water in play. So basically, this is a really tough course to play at. Right now, Oddsport, Scotty Scheffler plus 360, Xander Schauffele and Rory McIlroy 9-1, Morikawa 14-1, Victor Hovland 16-1, everybody else 25-1. Or longer. Did big renovations here a few years ago. It has gotten much tougher since they did that. I think a couple things that you need to keep in mind. Par 5 scoring, absolutely crucial here. Basically the only holes on the course that play under par. So something that I really, really factored in heavily this week was par 5 scoring. Off the tee, we've added length almost every year here. Jack has it just to kind of keep up with where the current state of the game's at. So really important strokes gained off the tee. I dialed back a little bit how much I was factoring in distance this year. Accuracy more important than distance. Distance matters here. It helps here. Greens are all often firm and fast. Balls are going to approach shots are going to hit the green and run off a lot of times. But you got to be hitting it playing from the fairway. If you're playing it out of the rough consistently through the week, it is brutal. So really look for those accuracy off the tee. And then you got to be great on approach. This is a massive, massive second shot test course. You've got about 50% of your approach shots coming for 175 yards or longer. So you can look for guys with good long irons or long off the tee to help set you up. You got to be looking at one of those. For me this week, the only problem with these elevated events, Ben, you get the shorter field. I think it's harder to find as many bets as you like. I'll start with my favorites, though. Right, I went right back to Xander Schauffele, top 10. I don't think we haven't seen this guy get phased by losing in big moments. I don't really think we're going to see him get phased after coming off of a win. He's got great history here at the course, T24, T18, T9, T18, all his last four starts at this tournament. I've got Scheffler and Schauffele as by far the two best players in this field. Rory McIlroy coming in third for me is kind of overall rankings. He's teed up. Xander's teed up 12 times. He's got 9 top 10s in those finishes. Colin Morikawa. I feel like the entire golf betting world is on Morikawa this week. I couldn't ignore where he's at, though. He feels like he's getting on a heater here right now, and this is the time to jump on him with a guy who has played well here before. He won the Workday in 2020. Remember when they played the back-to-back tournaments here coming out of COVID? He's got an ideal kind of player profile. He last 12 rounds, 8th off the tee, first in good drives gains, 24th on approach, 19th in par 5, scoring 5th around the greens. And the putting's been a lot better for him here recently. So really like him this week. Was 4th at Charles Schwab, 4th at PGA, has been really high here recently. So I did play him in the outright market, and then I played him in a top 10. Those top 10s on Xander and Morikawa are my biggest bets by far. I like Siwoo Kim and I like Keegan Bradley this week. I'm running out of time, so I don't got time to break down fully. But Siwoo Kim has traditionally played this course very, very well. And yes, these are a couple of the Kelly Classic golfers. But
they are.
Yeah, they are.
I expect you to have them every week.
I love these two. Keegan's been playing a lot better recently, though. Some great off the tee numbers. I only went with an outright with Justin Thomas, but I do think this is a week we could say CJT spike.
Yeah, we'll recap your bets well later on in the show. Up next, we'll see if Jason Weingarten has any golf bets this week. We'll also dive deep into some of the futures markets and award markets in Major League Baseball. Up next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, hour number two, as we roll on Wednesday morning from Bar Canada at the D with Kelly Bidlin. I'm Ben Wilson, on serve early here in the last women's quarterfinal at the French Open. Mira Andreeva and Arina Sabalenka, 3-2 Sabalenka, early lead there. We were noticing that doesn't seem to be a packed house at Philippe Chatrier, which I'm wondering why. It's like 5 p.m. on
Wednesday, bizarre.
In Paris.
It's very bizarre. I don't know. Like, is this a thing every year?
Maybe they knew Matt Brown was coming and they just... They were like, oh, the American with the southern accent is here.
It's because they cut off the booze. Like, was that
they did cut.
Thing?
Yeah, that is a thing. Yeah, they did. They did stop the alcohol sales. I'm surprised Matt still went as a result of that. Or did he even know? I don't know. All questions we're going to have to ask Mateo when he comes back at some point next week, I think. Anyway, alas, we go out to our progressive guest line right now, talk a little bit of Major League Baseball here with our guy Jason Weingarten, who joins us at Spreadopedia, where you find Jason's work. Jason joining us right now here. Big Major League Baseball today, Jason, because it is a Paul Skeens day specifically. We'll get into him in a second, but the American League, the rookie of the year market's kind of been thrown into sort of a new wave here with Luis Gil, how amazing he has been. He moves to the favorite after another great start last night, 0.60 ERA in 7 starts. What do you make of all the odds moving going on there in that rookie of the year race?
You know, I have to give it to Gil here. Luis Gil, not Gil, the host is not here today, but I have to give it to Gil. He deserves to be the favorite right now. I think it's a little overpriced. I see he's -105. That's a little aggressive. I mean, we're a third of the way through the season. I've talked at length about how I don't think pitchers necessarily, they're not a good value at these low numbers. And with so much time left, I would be looking for any other option in the AL race. I don't think he's going to win. You know, he proved me wrong, but it's a long way to go.
Still a long way to go. As far as somebody now, because of the way the odds have shifted here, who's the next guy that really jumps off the page to you here in a rookie of the year market where there are a couple of really intriguing players who are off to good starts?
Yeah, so I went way down the list to a guy that was even unlisted some places this last week, and I teased it, but I'm looking at Gil's teammate, Jason Dominguez, to come back and come back sooner than later. He was just his rehab assignment. Coming off a Tommy John surgery last year, he just went from AA to AAA. I know there's no spot to play him, but he's Jason Dominguez, Jason. He's the Martian. He's got $100,000 rookie card. You're giving him at 100-1, at 200-1. I had to take it.
That is his,
I think that's the guy.
Jason Dominguez with two S's, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're aware of that.
It did take me a second to find him on here.
Yeah,
I think it's Jason. If I'm pronouncing
Jason.
It.
Jason. Okay. He is listed at DraftKings now 60-1 on the AL rookie of the year.
Which is still a crazy price. Again, he's probably at least a week or two away from coming up. And then again, there has to be a spot to play him. But he's so much better than half of these guys on the list, you know, ahead of him that aren't going to win. And you know, more on that, Jackson Holliday, 90-1, 100-1. That's a crazy number, you know, especially when you consider before the season and we're talking, you know, 2 months ago, he was like 2-1, 3-1, you know, 100-1. There's still a lot of time left. I would not write off Jackson Holliday at 100-1 odds either.
80-1 at DK right now. I figure a re-promotion is somewhat imminent for Holliday after he's sent down to AAA.
Imminent, absolutely imminent.
No doubt on that. The NL is also interesting because you've shown to Imanaga as the favorite. Now, he wasn't totally at fault for this last night. His defense was just terrible. But the last two starts for Imanaga, 8 2/3 innings, 12 runs. Now, only 8 of those earned here. But he's given up 3 homers, given up more earned runs, gave up more earned runs in one start than he did the entire season against Milwaukee last week. Yet he's still the favorite. And you also have, you know, a guy in Paul Skeens who we figure is going to be on a pretty significant innings cap, who's at plus 210. Naturally, just leads me to think this could be the perfect sort of formula here for a guy a little bit deeper down the board. There's been some buzz for a guy I love in Joey Ortiz, Brewers rookie, who's off to a great start this year. He's at 7-1, but anybody else you're looking at in that market?
Well, you brought up an important thing with Skeens. He's 22 innings into his career. He's projected to throw approximately another 80 or 90 innings the rest of the season for Pittsburgh, barring, you know, them contending for a playoff race seriously or some crazy scenario. We're looking at getting around 100 innings out of him. That's nowhere near the required workload to win a Rookie of the Year. I mean, those would have to be the most extraordinary 100 innings in rookie history. And like I've said so many times, like, you just look at Spencer Strider's rookie numbers. He didn't win, and he had 200 something strikeouts. So even at this low number, I see Skeens here. It's got to be dead money. Like, if you bet him early at 50-1, you know, good for you. I did recommend that a couple months ago, but here at 3-1, absolutely, you have to look at him at dead money. Imanaga, same thing, like, just slightly over even. I see plus 135 today. You know, I would not take him at that number. Ortiz, I've had a couple of people ask me about. I think he's kind of interesting. Not a guy I'm going to bet under 10-1. Yamamoto, I mean, what else you want the guy to do? Like, he was a superstar in Japan. He had one bad start in the Korea series start the year. I think he might be the guy standing here at the end of the day, just because he's going to have, you know, much larger numbers and a bigger contribution, most likely, than Skeens and potentially Imanaga. But farther down the list, Mason Wynn, there's a guy who's been putting up some big numbers that everyone should know about. Andy Páez had an opportunity, but hasn't done anything. And similar to Jackson Holliday, Jackson Churio in Milwaukee, you know, they're a first place team. He's back to 100-1. I think that's kind of crazy. You know, give me Churio and Holliday here at the big numbers. You can come back on guys that were favorites before the season at extraordinary numbers with 2/3 of the year left. I'm much, you know, more excited to be focusing on those guys right now, and Dominguez, obviously.
Yep. Lots of intriguing options.
The pitchers. Can't do the pitchers here at the low numbers. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
He is Jason Weingarten, joins us right now here on A Numbers Game. Follow him at Spreadopedia. And it is a Paul Skeens day as well. We bring up Paul Skeens as a plus 210 second favorite right now at DK in the NL Rookie of the Year market. He goes against the Dodgers, who have had the offense really just quiet down last few games. Shut out yesterday, 1-0 win. Jared Jones was outstanding last night. What are you doing here with Skeens, who certainly, needless to say, tougher test than he has had so far in his major league career to this point?
I'm looking for a first inning yes score. I haven't seen one posted at the places I was going to bet it yet, so I don't have a number for you. But I'm
minus
looking
115, Jason.
115. I'm going to need a better number than that to play, and I'm hoping I'm going to get closer to even. But I'm looking at the first inning. Yes, I'm not saying the Padres. Sorry, the Pirates are going to win or lose. I just think, you know, I was telling you guys right before we went on air, this is probably the best lineup he's ever faced in his life. And, you know, I know he's been doing good things, but like I said, he has 22 major league innings under his belt, and he gets to face Ohtani and Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts to start the game. I'm very excited to watch that personally. You know, his rookie of the year campaign could take a huge jump or basically die in one inning today. So, you know, a lot on the line there, I guess, but really it's only one start in his career. Wouldn't surprise me if he had a bad day, but it's very weird to see the Dodgers slightly an underdog to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Seriously. No doubt on that. One other game here. This the line. I was surprised that it was so short yesterday. I bet the Rays against Jesus Luzardo, a lefty. Rays have been hitting much better against lefties here recently, and they put up 9 on Luzardo yesterday, get a 9-5 win, even though that was Harry. Had bases loaded, nobody out, bottom of the ninth. Had to bring in Pete Fairbanks to close that thing out, and they get the win. What do you make of the spot today here? It's another lefty, Braxton Garrett here for the Marlins going against Tampa as they send out Zach Eflin to the mound, seeing about $1.25 favorite there across the board.
Yeah, I got the Rays. I bet them -120 about an hour ago. I bet them yesterday too. The thing with the Marlins this year, like it's a very unserious team. I don't know how else to explain it. The players know that their best hope is to play well to get traded to a contender. You know, there's probably not very many good things going on, and Schumacher knows he's on the way out. It's just a question of him getting fired now or at the end of the season. So I watched this team play a couple times, and I was just really shocked at how apathetic they are for you know, going into June. You see this at the end of the year sometimes, but this is a bad team. I'm fading them today. I'm probably fading them next couple weeks till they trade these guys off. It's gonna be interesting to see what they do, because this is clearly a team that just doesn't care anymore. It's so early too. I'm not used to seeing teams not care this early.
Marlins baseball, it's a glorious thing. Come to Midland. Miami to put on a resume tape for every other team in the league.
Kelly Bidlin would know. Former Marlins attendee is how I like to describe Kelly Bidlin. Jason Weingarten giving us some time here, Wednesday edition of A Numbers Game. Always great to catch up, man. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Always fun.
Absolutely. Yes. That Tampa Miami series. They should just put it back at Disney World, Kelly.
I'm with you.
Come on.
It's also like that time of the year for like camp day, right? Like get the kids out. Like, fill
all the people in the bright orange t-shirts.
Right, yeah. Like I don't know what the French Open's doing. They should be doing the same thing.
They should be. Seriously, on that. Matt Grissom will join us up next. Great college baseball mind. He joins the show right after this.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Act now and save big. For a limited time, you get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price. It's normally $240 a year. You can now subscribe for just $199, and we'll throw in an extra month for free. That is 13 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets, real-time betting splits, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video content. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Use our promo code ANG to claim your discount and bonus month. The special deal won't last long. Again, VSiN.com/subscribe with the promo code ANG. As we're back on A Numbers Game, ready to talk some college baseball, because Super Regionals, not only have they been set, Kelly, for a couple days, but we finally got odds that populated the market right as we were going off air yesterday. Finally started to hit everywhere, which is great. And now we have some bets we can fire on. We welcome in our guy, Matt Grissom, who joins us on a progressive guest line. Does great work with the collegebaseballinsiders.com team. We've been citing their numbers a lot here over the last week or so, breaking down regionals and supers. Matt, right now, somewhere in the Florida Panhandle, which I'm so glad we can have this conversation, Kelly, because as a proud University of Missouri graduate, I was always stupefied by the number of my friends who would make the 9-hour drive down and then, like, sit by a pool somewhere in the Florida Panhandle. Matt has done the same exact thing driving from Arkansas. So, first off, great to see you, Matt. Please explain the logic behind this, because I've always been fascinated, and I'm glad we get to have the conversation again.
I don't know. I think there's some allure of having the beach 25 yards away. But, yeah, we're pool people. I don't mind going to the beach. We took our boys crab hunting last night. But, yeah, I would just rather sit by a pool and sip good drinks than sit down at the beach getting sand all over you. I don't, that
That's
may
fair,
be
man.
Bougie, but yeah, give me a pool.
I think it always starts with the good intention of going to the beach, but then if there's a pool nearby, you always end up at the pool. Because, yeah, who needs to deal with all that sand and sludge?
You got to walk past the pool to get to the beach. I'm here. Let's plop down and
that is true.
And waste 8 hours. But, you know.
Well, at least you were productive. I know you were working on your super regional betting guide that is going to be dropping soon while you're working at the pool. So so props to you that. It's fair to say, right, this regional is crazy as from when you and I have been covering this stuff. We can remember all the upsets. You had a bunch of 3 seeds advance, a 4 seed in Evansville. And it's okay and fair to say, right, like especially for me, I'm sure for you, made it very, very frustrating for us as bettors who are accustomed to not seeing this amount of total carnage and chaos. I know for me, like Oklahoma was a great example. You get them past the big, bad potential sleeper team in Duke, and I'm like, sweet, we're through to the final, just got to beat UConn, and then as a $3 favorite, they get blown out. That was kind of my regional weekend in a nutshell as I went to 0-2 on my futures.
Yeah, I'm honestly not more surprised by UConn than I am Evansville. Evansville, that could have been, you know, a sneaky 4 seed in that, especially after Wake got eliminated. But let's talk about the UConn Huskies. What? Like, this team, they struggled all season long. They never really found their balance. And then all of a sudden go into Norman and come out of that. I think that may have been one of the most shocking results of the weekend. And then you look at another, like you said, there's 5 3-seeds that come through. Florida goes into Stillwater, takes care of Oklahoma State, which was one of my best bets to make Omaha. And here we are, Florida Gators, 28-27, probably should have missed the field altogether. But I said it all season long, all the talent was still there. They just could never put it together. And lo and behold, they figure it out in Stillwater. And now they're into the Super Regionals.
I am in on them now, Matt, plus 172. A book out here was posting that against Clemson. Do you share my sentiment that now the Bats have woken up, this is a really, really dangerous Florida team?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not completely sold on Clemson. They're good, but when they get into a match where it's going to be runs left and right, I feel like Florida's got the advantage in the pen. So I like that, Florida plus money.
And that was a bullpen game, too, Florida beating Oklahoma State, 3 relievers in that decider, 4-2 there in Stillwater. What's also tough, we don't have the benefit of this in any of the books here in Nevada. Kelly was doing some shopping. Do you know of any books, Matt, that allow you to parlay some of these super regional, or, you know, we had it last week with the regionals, that parlay series prices? Since we have 6 of the 8 super regionals where the favorite is $2 or greater on the odds board.
Yeah, and this is where you kind of get into a situation where, yeah, you did have some upsets in the regionals, but I feel like it's going to be a lot of chalk. I actually parlayed Tennessee, Florida State, and one more. Texas A&M.
Yep, A&M.
Yes. Yeah, that was a parlay that I got on DraftKings. So there are some shops out there that are offering them.
Nice.
And Kelly's Florida State Seminoles.
Let's go.
There you go.
Go, yeah, baby.
Back in the saddle. They're number 3 in our Insiders Power Ratings now. Watch out for the Noles.
23-1. Let's ride.
I spent about 25 frustrated minutes just banging my head against the wall trying to figure out any book here that would let me parlay super regional series prices, Matt. I did not have any
success. Network that y'all work for, they'll let you do it.
Okay. That's a good place to start.
Yeah. Okay, good to know. Let's go through. So there's only 2 series here where it is viewed to be more of a toss-up, and you get Kentucky minus 135 at home against Oregon State, plus 115, a really good Beaver team out of the Pac-12. Kentucky, taking the SEC, they were preseason 5th out of 7 teams in the SEC East. Great season for the Wildcats. What do you make of that series?
I have told everybody and their mother that I'm not buying this Kentucky Wildcats team. The stats don't back up the amount of success that they've had this season. But I'm tired of losing money betting against them. For all intents and purposes, I'm going to stay away from it. But I wouldn't be surprised if Oregon State comes in and wins. Their probabilities are higher from our super regional guide sneak peek coming out. They like Oregon State. But looking at this Kentucky team, they don't do anything great, but they do everything well, and they will punish Oregon State if they make a single mistake. And I think that's, you know, when you get into the postseason, when you play clean, mistake-free baseball, that's typically going to take you further than having a bunch of studs that can go out there and throw 7 or 8 innings and give you, you know, 14 strikeouts or have somebody hit 3 home runs a game. So it's a coin flip for me. the numbers say Oregon State. My head says Kentucky. So I'm just going to stay away from it.
Hey, I'm with you on that. I loved Indiana State in that regional 3-1 shot. Thought Kentucky was not like a paper tiger, so to speak, but thought they were definitely beatable. And Indiana State could not get the job done in that regional. The other one, very tightly priced here. We're talking college baseball super regionals with Matt Grissom from collegebaseballinsiders.com right now on ANG. It's the Georgia NC State series. This, at least on paper, would feel like just the craziest, the most competitive three-game series of all of them. Georgia with one of the best offensive players in the country in Charlie Condon. Minus 125, NC State battle tested their plus 105. Outstanding ACC-SEC matchup here, Matt.
Yeah, I really like Georgia. I gave them out Georgia to make the College World Series at 12-1, and I've got a little bit of them to win it all. But the pitching staff, I don't think, is going to allow them to win it all, but they are going to be able to swing the bat with the best of them. And I think that starts with NC State. I think they take care of NC State. This has been a Jekyll and Hyde team all season long. You never really know what you're going to get out of the Wolfpack. Georgia has kind of been steady Eddie here lately. Charlie Condon, like you mentioned, he's been good on offense. We know that. But Leighton Finley, Jarvis, I can't think of his last name. They've been formidable in the bullpen for Georgia. And like I said, that's always been the question mark for me, is can this Georgia pitching staff get to that next level to get them to the super regionals? And they did it through the regionals, and I think they'll do the same to get them to Omaha.
Georgia is taking some money in the market for minus 125 when those were posted yesterday, now out to minus 150. There are two dogs that are getting some good betting interest here, Matt, so far in kind of that next category of, you know, they're decently priced favorites in Virginia and North Carolina, but not overwhelming to the degree of an A&M or Florida State or a Tennessee, who's your biggest favorite in the super regionals here. Virginia minus now down to minus 230 against Kansas State, plus 185, who took the Arkansas regional. And then North Carolina here getting down to minus 220 against West Virginia, plus 180. Of those two, more likely upset in your opinion?
I mean, West Virginia kind of came out of nowhere. That surprised me. Kansas State started the season in the top 25. We knew about Kalen Culpepper. We knew about Owen Barema. Tyson Neighbors, the one of the best closers in the country. They ran through that Fayetteville regional, though, and I don't know if it's purple jerseys from the Big 12 that are the Razorbacks' kryptonite, but you had TCU come in there and do it last year, and then Kansas State did it. I will say Kansas State, while the win was impressive, they really just had to beat Arkansas one time. Yeah, they did it against Hagan Smith, but then you get SEMO, and, you know, I'm not going to discount them going through that regional because what they did was impressive, but I think their run stops here. West Virginia, if Derek Clark can pitch like he did, I think they could give North Carolina a run for their money. So to answer your question, I would say West Virginia is probably the more live dog with J.J. Weatherholt and Derek Clark there against the Tar Heels.
UNC needed minus 1,000 against Long Island, needed the 6-run ninth, walk-off grand slam, cardiac Carolina. You always worry about that.
Hats off to them for beating LSU. I didn't
wild.
Think they were going to have it in them. That was a wild game. It's why I love college baseball.
4-3 in the 10th. Had to score in the 9th to force extra innings. Yeah, that was awesome. He is Matt Grissom. Check out, follow him on Twitter, at Grissom on X. The Super Regional Betting Guide is going to be coming out soon here, so check that out, as well as collegebaseballinsiders.com. Great to see you all, Matt. Enjoy the vacay.
Y'all too. Thank you.
When we come back, we'll recap our best bets, wrap up the show here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champion. With the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings? Listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. The crown is yours. Back here on A Numbers Game, I'm Ben Wilson with Kelly Bidlin. We'll recap our best bets, get back to Kelly's golf bets here if you missed those from the Memorial, talk about the baseball slate as well. But first, it is Stormy Bonantoni coming up with your moment of Zin.
This is your Betting Moment of Zyn, brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. Find your moment of Zyn at Zyn.com. Can anyone knock the Chiefs off the AFC pedestal? Hi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Let's get into it, because the back-to-back defending Super Bowl champs are plus 300 favorites to three-peat in the conference. While KC stunned the then top-seeded Ravens this past January, at plus 475, Baltimore and two-time MVP Lamar Jackson could be back with a vengeance, adding former rushing leader Derrick Henry to the fold. The Bills' odds lengthened to 7-1 following the departure of Stephon Diggs to Houston. Meanwhile, the Texans' odds shifted from 13-1 to plus 850 after adding Diggs and Danielle Hunter as part of a very active free agency. Cincinnati at 7-1 is the only team to beat the Chiefs in the AFC title game since 2019 and should be a worthy contender with a healthy Joe Burrow in 2024. This has been your daily betting moment of Zyn. Learn more about Zyn smoke-free nicotine pouches at Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Zyn is intended for adult nicotine users over 21 years of age.
All right, thanks, Stormy. We're back for our final segment here. A couple of tweets, Kelly, finding out from Tom that you can parlay regionals at Bet Rivers in college baseball. So that is great to know for those of you out there in Bet Rivers jurisdictions. Brian asking Kelly, why are you not initiating me to the best food truck to be in Arizona so that I can parlay super regionals?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Go down to the food truck, man.
It's you know, it's funny because I do arena football right now this time of year, and there are so many Arizona teams. And I'm always just checking my schedule, like, when do I have an Arizona trip so I can align that with, you know, with the operators out there. And this would be a great week would have been the perfect week to have an Arizona Rattler game. Sadly, I do not. I have a Sioux Falls Storm game, which I will be in South Dakota this weekend, which South Dakota is not Arizona.
Hey, you're pumped. I know there's a lot of people waiting for you to get out there and party with you and stuff. So
Sioux Falls, yeah.
Yeah, king of Sioux Falls over here.
I have never been to Sioux Falls. I'm excited.
You haven't?
No, I haven't been to South Dakota.
I mean, I'm
in
only
general.
Surprised because of the sports that you've called that you haven't ended up there at some point.
I think it'll be like my 39th state, I want to say. Like
you're checking a whole state off the list, too. Nice.
I haven't been to South Dakota. Yeah.
Okay, nice. I've never been there.
You've never been there?
No, I've never been there.
Really? Florida? Oh, 35 states. I exaggerate. But it'll have to be 36, though. So. We're on our way.
You have that noted on your phone somewhere?
I do have it noted on my phone.
Do you have every state written down? But can you run through them all, please? I don't know why I find this entertaining, but I do.
Yeah, I don't know why I have, like, a random note.
Did you put it alphabetically? That feels like something Ben Wilson
would do. Yeah. Too. Alabama, Arizona,
really
Arkansas,
oh my God.
California, Colorado, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Washington, and my home state,
wow,
Wisconsin.
Wow, there you go.
I also listen.
Sorry,
you know,
but you guys
funny.
Have no idea what goes on in the mind of Ben Wilson.
My mind works in really weird ways.
I thought there was a good chance of you having them alphabetically ordered, but oh my gosh.
I also listed countries for some reason. 16 countries.
16 countries?
Pretty good.
Wow. You might have me beat there.
Well, also one principality, Monaco.
Nice. I was going to say, I think I've probably been at more countries in Europe than I have states in the United States, but.
Yeah, I mean, you can get to a lot very,
right.
Very easily. Speaking of Europe, Aryna Sabalenka was down to even money live. This was while we were at a break here. She was down to even money live, down a break. Trainer comes out. She was down 5-3 to Mira Andreeva, has since broken back and is now up 5-3 in a first set tie break. But Mira Andreeva, the teenager, is going to have a great career. She is playing really well against Sabalenka right now, and just hits a winner to get back on serve there in the tiebreak. So 5-4.
What was the closing odds? How big of a favorite?
-510 consensus.
Wow. Okay, so they really
and
did
Sabalenka,
it.
Yeah, well, the trainer came
the
out. Sabalenka
scare.
Was looking a little bit a little bit labored.
And then is this the best giving Andreeva?
No.
Okay. This is the better one, as Gil was.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That was. Yeah. There's ITF lowest level, which bets giving when Adam Burke and I were.
That's a fair start. JVT had to make the desperation bet to try.
I thought I had it won, which is funny because I think Adam Burke also thought he had it won, but I was. It's unclear who was in the lead. It was either Adam Burke or I who was in the lead. VSiN bets giving, and then JVT was on the air early and basically made a last ditch tennis bet and beat all of us. Which I still never saw the final standing, so I still don't really know what happened. But anyway, It was very bizarre. It was unclear. That's what's happening right now. Set point here. Sabalenka up 6-4 in the first set breaker. Kelly, I want to let you recap here your golf bets for those who missed it as we can run through the Memorial card. Very, very big name field this week at the Memorial.
Yeah, for sure. This is big boy golf this week. Great field. Again, top 73-man field. You're going to have top 50 in ties, plus anybody within 10 shots of the lead. So keep that in mind if you're playing DFS or betting any of those markets this week. Long shots up. We ran through some of the preview of the tournament earlier in the show. Long shots is up, though, with Wes and myself this week. And then we will be back in studio for a special long shots edition next week for the U.S.
Nice.
Open. So quick rundown real quick. Top 10s on Xander and Morikawa. Those would be my favorite bets this week. Xander, it's just lock and load again. I don't really expect him to be too different coming off of a win. We've seen him. We've seen these close losses from him before, and it really him not get affected, Ben. So I think that's something that could be in people's minds of how he's going to play after a win. But I'm going right back to the well, betting him top 10. Him and Scheffler are kind of by far my highest rated golfers this week.
Yep.
Rory right behind him. I don't want to take anything away from Rory. He is third, but he is solidly third behind those two. And just real quick, I mean, recent results. I mean, one PGA, second at the Wells Fargo. He's got 9 top 10s and 12 starts this season. Great history at this course here, too. Last 4 tournaments, last 4 appearances at the Memorial, at least T24, T18, T9, T18. So has done really well here in tournaments that have had larger fields typically than what you are going to see this week. Always was an invitational, though, so it was always a tough field and always had the best of the golfers around. Morikawa outright, it's a little bit of a short price on the outright for him, Ben. I do think he's peaking right at the right time. He's a very popular play this week. I don't want to miss out, so I am playing that, but my bigger bet is in the top 10 market at plus 130. This is a guy, he's just on a heater right now. 4th at the Charles Schwab, T4 at the PGA, T16 at the Wells Fargo, 9th at the RBC, T3 at the Masters. We saw him struggling earlier in the year, especially with his irons, which was shocking because he's one of the best iron players in the world. I mean, everything's coming together a little bit better now. His putting's been a lot better this year overall. And now that the irons are starting to click, he's the most accurate guy pretty much in the field off the tee, which is really important this week. Great with approach, 19th in par 5 scoring in the field, 5th around the green. Really checks all the boxes for what you're going to need this week. JT, I didn't really get to talk about much before. I'm just playing an outright price on him. I did think that number had gotten a little too long on Justin Thomas. And we've got different books in Nevada. I think anything over at 30-1 or longer on JT is probably a fair play this week. T8 the PGA, T21 Wells Fargo, T5 RBC Heritage. Also has 3 missed cuts this year. So it's been a little bit of an up-and-down season for JT.
Feels like an all or nothing guy.
Yeah, right. That's kind of where I'm just like, I wouldn't want to play a top 20 on him this week. Kind of just aiming high. And if he's got the game this week, he can contend. The putter's been just ice cold. It's really holding him back. He had some problems off the tee beginning of the season. That he's kind of corrected that, though. So if the ball striking's there with JT, and we talked about this on the podcast, I didn't bring it up earlier. One of the parts, these are small, a little bit smaller greens, and they are very difficult greens. But when you talk about greens like that, Ben, it kind of levels out the putting skills, right? It is with the guys that are really good putters, guess what? They're still going to struggle on really tough greens. So it kind of helps bring everybody closer to the pad.
The Hideki Matsuyama theory from the Masters.
Exactly.
A couple years ago. Hey,
yes.
We just saw a guy who'd been ice cold with a putter, Robert McIntyre, hot and win last week. So there is precedent.
Yes, absolutely. And then rounding out the card, top 20, Siwoo Kim and Keegan Bradley. And then, yes, I did play a little long price on Keegan Bradley to win this thing. Siwoo, one of the most consistent years of his career, but the past two outings have been ugly. Did miss cut of the PGA, T56 at Charles Schwab. But man, strokes gained numbers, he's getting it done pretty much everywhere this year. And great history at this court, this tournament. 4th, T13, T9, and T18 the last 4 years. So pretty incredible. Keegan Bradley, man, he's getting hot right now. Great putting week. That's always the concern with him. Will be again this week. As well as his scrambling around the green play, but even that's been a little bit better lately, Ben. And man, he is off the tee recently, just been incredible. So ball striking, really great from Keegan Bradley. I think he could spike this week on the leaderboard.
Nice, plus 138, Don. A little T20 there for Kelly Bidlin. For me, I just have the college baseball. Nothing stood out to me on the MLB card for today. No bets for me there. Just Florida Super Regional, a plus 172 best number out there. see that number. I see that number coming down. It's already plus 135 at DK. If you can find a plus 150 or better, go ahead and bet that Florida in the Super Regional over Clemson. All right, Kelly, been a blast hanging out with you, man. As always, I'll see you
Betty.
Sunday on
That's
Live
right.
Bet Sunday. Jared Smith in tomorrow and Friday for Gil. We've done all that we can do if you're listening to us on Radio Gojo, and Golic is next if you're watching right here on VSiN. Stay tuned for Best Bets.